With your permission, I'd like to just read one perek of the Tehillim before we begin today's shi'ur. We are clearly living in very curious moments of our history. Whenever we lose Gedolei Yisrael, in the passing of Rabbi Scheinberg this few days ago, which was one of the great rabbis of Israel, and the sickness of other Gedolei Yisrael as well as the tragedies that we're beginning to hear from Europe. So Am Yisrael finds itself in a precarious situation again with enemies that are vowed to kill us, to destroy us. These are the days to read the Tehillim. One shouldn't think, what's one more Tehillim going to do? Every chapter has a value, does something for Am Yisrael. And therefore, as we see the clouds, the black clouds are coming towards us, so Baruch Hashem, we have a weapon. The weapon is called the Book of Tehillim. So, Bnei Neder, I'd like to begin just by reading one chapter. If you have your Tehillim books, you could follow with me. I'm reading chapter 140. Kuf Mem. Lam Naseya Mizmor David. Haletzeni Adonai Me Adam Ra. Neish Hamasim Tinsereni. Asher Hashevu Ra'ot Belev. Kol Yom Yaguru Melchamot. Shaninu Leshonam Kimonahash. Hamat Akshuv. Tahat Sefate Mosela. Shumreni Adonai. Midei Rasha. Neish Hamasim Tinsereni. אשר חשבו לדחות פעמי, תמנו גאים, פח לי, וחבלים, פרסו רשת ליד מעגן, וקשים, שתו לי סלע. אמרתי לאדוני, אליאת, האזינה אדוני כל תחנוני. אלוהים אדוני, עוז ישועתי, סקות לראשי ביום נשק. אל תתן אדוני מאביי רשע, זרמו אל תפק, ירומו סלע. ראש מסיבי, עמל שפתמו, יחסמו. ימותו עליהם גחלים, באש הפילן, במהמורות בל יקומו. איש לשון בל יקון בארץ, איש חמאס רע, יסודנו למדחפות. ידעתי כי יעשה אדוני דין עני, משפט עליוני, אך צדיקים יודו לשמך, ישבו ישרים את פניך.
We are studying today a new Sefer, Sefer Vayikra, Nesimanat Tava, Besiman Tov. We begin a new book, the third book of our Torah. The Pasuk begins, chapter 1, Pasuk 1. Vayikra in Moshe, and he called to Moshe, Vayidaber Adonai Elav Me'ohel Mo'ed Lemor, and God spoke to him, as to Moses, from Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed is where the Mishkan was, the tabernacle. That's all we have to read today, just one pasuk. When they take out the Sefer Torah this week, you'll notice that on the word Vayikra, the Aleph is written small. There's a tradition that certain letters in the Torah have to be written in a miniature form, and certain letters have to be written in a big font. There was a tradition all the way back from the times of Moshe Rabbeinu. There's about 27 letters that are written small in the Torah and big, different sizes. So this is one of them. Vayikra is spelled Vav Yud Kof Resh Aleph, but the Aleph is written tiny. They call it Aleph Ze'ira, the small Aleph. And we need to understand what is the significance of this small Aleph. I know it's very significant, because in our parasha Vayikra, there is 111 pesukim in the whole parasha. Just as a try, I didn't count. But if you look at the end of every parasha, you find the end of the parasha, in the Ashma Ba, there was a rabbi that did us this favor. He counted for us how many pesukim. So he says, okay, kuf yud alef pesukim. Now, I guess there's a reason why every parasha has a certain amount of pesukim. Why some have 176, and some have 145, and this parasha has 111. I don't believe it's by randomness or by coincidence. God, who made the Torah, specified that each parasha should have a certain measure of pesukim. Anyway, if you take the letter Aleph, Aleph equals 1. That's an easy one in Gematria. Aleph is the first letter of the alphabet. But you know how you spell Aleph? If you would spell an Aleph, it's Aleph, Lamed, Peh. Aleph. Spell it out in the letters. Well, how much is Aleph? Aleph is 1. And Lamed is 30. That's 31. And Peh is 80. So therefore that's 111. So it seems to me that this Aleph is the essence of the parasha. This is the key of the whole parasha. That there's 111 pesukim in the parasha, which is the numerical value of the letter Aleph, because the rabbis or the Torah was hinting to us, make sure you understand the secret of this Aleph. That's the essence of the whole parasha. If you can figure out the secret, then you've broken into the vault. You've broken into the safe. You've cracked the enigma or the secret of Parashat Vayikra. The secret is in the Aleph. What is exactly the Aleph? Exactly, we have to see. Furthermore, if I could ask another question. Vayikra el Moshe. And he called Moshe. Who called Moshe? God called Moshe. So why doesn't it say Vayikra Hashem el Moshe? Well, guess what? It does. But at the end of the Pasuk. At the end of the Pasuk it says, Vaydaber Adonai Elav. At the end of the Pasuk it says, and God called to him. Why doesn't it say in the beginning? Why does Hashem wait to put his name till the end of the Pasuk? He's hiding his name. Why? Why wait to the end? Tell me, Vayikra Hashem and Moshe. Rashi comes along and says, Rashi HaKadosh, Vayikra and Moshe, and he called Moshe, Lechol debirot, for all the commandments, ulchol amirot, and all the sayings that God would speak to Moshe, ulchol sevuim, all the, like we said, the commandments and the mitzvot, kadma kiri'ah, it always, God would refer to Moshe in the word kiri'ah, vayikra, lashon chiba. Whenever you see the word vayikra, that's a word that's used of endearment. Vayikra, when you love somebody, the reference that you refer to them is Vayikra. For example, the Malachim, when they're singing to God, the Pasuk says, Vekara ze ze ve'amar, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. Because the Malachim are filled with love of Hashem, and God rests His presence on the Malachim, so Vekara ze ze ve'amar. Now she says that. However, when it comes to God talking to the Goyim, for example, the Goyim had a few prophets. One of their prophets' names was Bil'am. God talked to Bil'am, but it wasn't with endearment. It never says once by Bil'am the word Vayikra. What does it say? Vayikar. Vayikar, it's missing the Aleph. Vayikar, it's like God spoke to Bil'am in randomness, by chance. It's like you meet somebody in the street, you bump into them. You didn't plan it, it's by mistake. That's how God speaks to everybody else, but to Moshe, it's Vayikra, it's Lashon Chibba. And I'm going to come to explain today, Be'ezat Hashem, from the Tzaddikim, where exactly is the Lashon Chibba? Where is the endearment in this Pasuk? It seems that something happened in this Pasuk where God was showing Am Yisrael a tremendous amount of love. Where do you see it? It just says, Vayikra Moshe, he called to Moshe, Vayidaber Adonai Elav Me'ohel Moed Demor, and he spoke to him from Ohel Moed. In order to understand this, I have it over here in front of me, a sefer. The sefer is called Avodat Avodah. Who wrote this sefer? This is a sefer that was written from the talks from the Devre Torah of the Tasha Rebbe. Tasha Rebbe is a Rebbe in Canada. He's one of the big tzaddikim. How did I get the Sefer? One time the rabbi from Tash was in Florida. Somebody had called me and they heard I was in Florida. They said, maybe you want to go visit the rabbi. I'm always up to visiting the rabbis. Although it was late at night, I told my wife and children, come, we're going on a field trip. Where are we going to visit the Tasha Rebbe? Are we going to Canada now? To Montreal? No, he's right here in Miami, in Fort Lauderdale. So we went. When I went in, they said, what do you want? I said, I don't know, nothing, just a beracha, but the truth of the matter is, more than the rabbi's beracha, I need the rabbi's books. Does the rabbi have sefarim? This rabbi cannot be such a great rabbi without Torah. It's the Torah that makes the rabbi great. Give me his books. He said, well, we have a few books, but they're written in Yiddish. It doesn't help me. Well, Be'ezat Hashem, you're the first one to ever come in and ask for books. People come in, they want money, they want to know which business they should go into, which stocks they should buy. They, Chas v'Shalom, they minimize the rabbi like a financial advisor. And the rabbi is humble, so he gives them berachot. So at that time, they presented to me, I got in the mail a few days later, this sefer called Avodat Avodah, which is the talks that the Rebbe used to give to his students in the yeshiva. And I guess somebody transcribed them later on, and they wrote it. Yeah, Kiryat Tash, that's where it is in Montreal. Anyway, the rabbi says like this. Most of the end of the book of Shemot that we just read was talking about the building of the Mishkan. We just read Vayakel Pekudeh. Before that we read Terumat Tetzaveh. And even Kitisa. All those parashiyot talk about the construction of the Mishkan. And now Vayikra, it already talks about the finishing of it, and the inauguration of the Mishkan, and all the sacrifices that were brought in the Mishkan. What is the purpose of the Mishkan? Why did we need it? So Rashi explains, it was a kapara for the sin of the golden calf. The Jewish people worshipped the Egel HaZahav, and they needed a tikkun. They needed somehow to rectify it. They needed to fix it. So God told them, if you want a kapara, go build this whole structure from gold and silver and all the different furnishings. And we read in last week's Parasha Pekudeh, it's called Mishkan Ha'edut. It's the Mishkan of testimony. What testimony does the Mishkan have? So Rashi said, Edut Sheviter Lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Al Ma'aseh Ha'Egel. It's a testimony that God has forgiven us for the sin of the Egel. Now how does that work? How does a Mishkan have kapara for an Egel? What's the connection? So I always thought simply, here you use the gold for the wrong thing, so now use the gold for the right thing. Make a tikkun. Like the rabbis always say, the way you make teshuvah is, Chabaruch Hu should teach us this, it's called teshuvat ha-mishkan. It's a scale. If you sinned with your hands, do something good with your hands. If you sinned with your legs, do something good with your legs. If you sinned with your eyes, so read the Vrei Torah. You fix the sin, midah keneged midah, measure for measure. So they sinned by taking all their gold and building the structure. Now God says, why don't you use your gold for something constructive? That's what I always thought. But of course, the rabbi is going to say something much deeper. And I'm sure when the rabbi said it, it was 1,000 times better than the way I'm going to repeat it. But this is we have no choice. When God created man, man means woman as well, mankind. So the Pasuk writes, Vayipach be'apav. He blew into the nostrils of Adam a neshama. A neshama is a breath. Where did this breath come from? It came from God. When you blow, it doesn't come from the extremities of a person. It comes from all the way inside. When you're blowing something, it comes from your essence. HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew from himself into every human being, starting with Adam HaRishon, and every time a child is born, God once again blows into him this neshama, v'yipach be'apav nishmat hayim. It's a piece of God that is inside of us. Helek Elokam Ma'al. The Zohar HaKadosh says, man de nafach, midile nafach. When you blow into a balloon, so then there's a piece of you in the balloon now. This is your air. There's something of you in this balloon. When God blows into us, His breath, there is a piece of God in us. It's called the neshama. I told you again, neshama comes from the word nishima. Nishima is a breath. It's the breath of God. And that's why every single Jew who has this neshama is endowed with a great amount of spiritual holiness. And it comes from the name of God, Yudke Vavke. That's God's name of His essence. God blows in every one this power of Yudke Vavke, which is His ultimate revelation of His name. That's the highest form. Even an angel does not have this level of Kiddushah in him. By the angels, the Pasuk writes, Vayavo'u b'neha Elohim. The angels have in them a lesser Kiddushah. It comes from a lower name called Elohim. But every human being is endowed with the Kiddushah of Yudke Vavke. I'll tell you better. God created Adam HaRishon, it says originally in his mind. God had an idea. He wants to create Adam. The essence of God is the mind. That's the essence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We are created from the Mahshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the highest level. Angels were created from God's speech. Speech is limitation. When I take letters and make words, the words are limited. I take three letters, I make a word. The word is limited. But the machshava, the thought, is unlimited. Therefore, human beings were created. It says in the Gemara, Yisrael alu b'machshava. We were in God's mind. God had an idea. You're going to ask, what do you mean God had an idea? What does he have to have an idea? Just do it. We have ideas. No, that means the essence of human beings come from the highest madriga, from the machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the essence of Yudke Bavke. You're going to ask me, we have a piece of God in us? Why don't I feel it? We should feel it. Maybe sometimes you ever went to the Kotel HaMa'arabi in Israel. You feel the Kiddushah. You went to maybe a holy rabbi. You felt something. Why don't we feel that we have the Yudke Vavke, the name of God inside of us? We should be high. We should be very, very, very lofty. We should feel very sublime. Why don't we feel anything? We open a sidur. It's dull. We open a tehillim. We're not excited as we should be. Why is the religion then to us so humdrum? If the God is in us, you know what Yudke Vavke, it's a dynamo. That's an electrical current of spirituality that's higher than the angels. Our current is 220. The angels are on 110. We have a stronger current going in us, and we don't feel it. Now we're alive, so we must have a neshama. It's not like it's not in us. So the explanation is because when a person goes after his desires, when a person goes after his lusts, let's put it in the common English, when a person makes sins, when he makes averot, so this godliness is not allowed to stay there. Because when the sin comes in, there's tum'ah. And with this tum'ah, the Shekhinah cannot stay there. Lavdil, There was once a big rabbi. I'll tell you who it was. It was Rabbi Obadiah Yosef. He was in deal for the summer for a few days. So one of my friends was getting married. So they sent a message to Chacham Obadiah if the rabbi can come and officiate the wedding. This is a big zechut to have the chief rabbi of Israel, Chacham Obadiah Yosef, officiate the wedding. So his first question was, not what time is the wedding, who are the people, where. He said, is the wedding modest? Is there modesty? Is there mechitza? Is there going to be kedusha at this wedding? Happened to be, to my friend's luck, he decided a few months before that he wants to make a wedding, kedat Moshe v'Yisrael, with all the proper spiritual trimmings. So we told the rabbi, yes, mechitza, everybody's dressed properly. When I heard that, I said, and if there wasn't a mechitza, Chacham Obadiah cannot come? He said, no, if there's no mechitza, if there's no kedushata makom, I cannot come. So I said to myself, if Chacham Obadiah cannot come, can God come? Who's bigger, God or Chacham Obadiah? You think God's standard is lower than Chacham Obadiah's standard? I'm sure that Chacham Obadiah is only following the standard of God. It must be that this is God's level. When a person sins, that yudke vavke that's inside of us, you want to call it a neshama, it goes into exile. It gets buried deep into a certain place, almost as if it goes into captivity. When we talk about exile, the tzaddikim, they always refer not to the exile of the Jewish people in America. They refer to the personal exile. That every single Jew, when he makes a sin, he puts his God that's inside of him into an exile. It goes to a place in hiding. And that's why you don't feel it. Because the Shekinah is locked up somewhere. When we make teshuvah, we release it, and it comes out again, and you start to feel it. But the averot are considered a blockage, or creates a film over the Shekhinah, and the more sins a person makes, the more the Shekhinah goes deeper and deeper and deeper into hiding, into certain galut that we call it. That's why in Hebrew, how do you call a sin? Avera. What does Avera stand for? Avera is Avar Ya. Ya is Yudke. Avar. The Yudke, it went away. The Yudke is gone. It leaves us. And what is Teshuvah? Teshuvah is Teshuv He. He is Hashem. When we make Teshuvah, then the He, the Shekinah is able to come back. That's why we're not feeling it. Even though we're doing a lot of mitzvot, but as long as there's Averot, Lavdil. Even though we're doing a lot of mitzvot, you know what it's like? Imagine serving somebody, I'm going to say strong things here today, but we have no choice. The times call for strong musar. Imagine serving somebody delicious food on a dirty plate. They said, why don't you eat? But the plate is dirty. But this is caviar. This is filet mignon. This is the most expensive foods. But it's a dirty plate. It's ma'us. It's disgusting. You can't even look at it. Chas v'shalom, when we present God mitzvot, but if there's averot in our system, so we're presenting God the most beautiful mitzvot in a dirty vessel. And therefore the mitzvot are tainted as well. And therefore, the Shekhinah is in an exile. The Shekhinah, I'm not talking about the Shekhinah in globally, universally. I'm talking about the Shekhinah in us. We have created Galut, the Shekhinah, because of Averot. That Neshama has left. That's why we once explained, somebody asked me once, why when a person sins, does he have to bring an animal? In the olden days, they brought an animal as a Qurban. Why? What type of tikkun is that? You bring a behemah, and the behemah is mechaper on the Adam? What's the logic? How does that work? So I explained it once, based on a story that was told by Rav Hida. There was a fellow that once had a set of Zohar HaKadosh in his house. It's a 20-volume set of Zohar HaKadosh. Expensive set. And he fell on hard times. He had no choice, or he thought he had no choice. He went and he sold the set of Zohar. With the money, he bought whatever he needed. That night he had a dream. And they came to him in a dream, and he saw himself in the dream. They were beating him up in the dream. They were giving him lashes in the dream, and they were calling him Behemah, 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 which is like an animal. He was so upset. He went to the rabbi the next day. He said, what is this dream? They're calling me Behemah, Behemah. He said, what did you do yesterday? He says, I sold the set of the Zohar. Said, oh, now I understand. That's why they called you Behemah. Why? Because I sold the Zohar, I'm an animal? He said, there's a pasuk in the Torah. The pasuk is talking about somebody that has Kodesh in his house. He has things that are holy in his house. So the law is, you have to give the holy things to the Kohen. You cannot keep it to yourself. Like terumah and ma'aser and all the different holy foods. And every few years you have to go to the Beit HaMikdash and you must make a confession that all the Kodesh that you have in your house, you got rid of it. You gave it to the proper people. And the confession is like this. Bi'arti HaKodesh min HaBayit. I got rid of the Kodesh from my house. Bi'arti doesn't mean to burn over here. Bi'arti means I got rid of. Bi'arti HaKodesh min HaBayit. I got rid of the Kodesh from my house. And then they shake the guy's hand. I was like, Baruch, thank you very much. That means you gave everything that you were supposed to. He says, but you, they're telling you, you got rid of the Kodesh. You had the Zohar HaKadosh in your house. And that's why they showed you the word Behemah. Because Behemah stands for Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. They told you, you got rid of the Kodesh from the Bayit. What did you do? The Zohar HaKadosh will bring you much more good luck than those few dollars that you sold it for. So they kept on calling him Behemah, Behemah, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. Ah, Makot, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. You eradicated the Kedusha from your house. That's why you bring an animal when you sin also. Because you know what happens when you sin? The Kedusha that's inside of us, what do you do to it? You send it out. The Kedusha that was there, all of a sudden you sent it into exile. The Kedusha now is not able to give you any charge. You have no feeling anymore. The Shem Yudke Vavke is forced to go into a very dark spot. And therefore, how do you fix that? You bring a behemah. Behemah Rashi Tevot, Bi'arti HaKodesh Min HaBayit. Midah Keneged Midah. Because you got rid of the Kedusha that was in your house, the house of the body. So therefore, you must bring a behemah, so you'll think of this in order to bring the Kedusha back. Now, at the time that the Jewish people came to Matan Torah, when they received the Torah, it says, at that moment, we reached such a level, we were so holy, that we were able to fix not only our personal sins, but even the sin of Adam HaRishon. When Adam ate from the tree, wow, what a destruction that caused. That was such a powerful, it was like a nuclear sin. The sin was so great, it destroyed so much. And at the moment that we received the Torah, many years later, that's 2,448 years later. Imagine that. It took 2,448 years to fix the fallout, like radiation, the fallout from that one sin. And at that time, the Gemara says, Pascha Zohamatam, the Zohama, the poison of that sin, stopped. Wow. At that moment, we felt God coming through our body like an electrical current. There was no interference. There was no buffers. There was no sin. We were so pure. The Jewish people were on the highest madrega, the highest level ever. There was no
spiritual blockages. The neshama was running through our body. We were on a high. But what happened? It was very short-lived. You know it. We did the Eger. The sin of the Eger was so devastating. It brought so much sin inside of Am Yisrael, and all of a sudden the Shekhinah that was inside of us, gone. Only a few people were clean of this sin. The tribe of Levi. You remember when Moshe Rabbeinu came down and he was looking for the pure people. What did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Mila Hashem Elai. What did he say? Mila Donai Elai. Who are those that still feel the Yudke Vavke inside of them? Who are those that still feel charged? Who are those that the Yudke Vavke did not get sent into exile? Mila Hashem. Who still has the Yudke Vavke? Shevet Levi said, we still feel motivated. We still feel excited. We feel that the Shekhinah is very close to us. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's an indication that you did not sin. What did God tell Moshe after the sin of the Egel? God says, I cannot lead the people anymore. Hine anuchi sholeach malach lefanecha. I'm sending an angel. And the angel will guide you through the desert. What does that mean? Nobody understands what that means. God retired, chas v'shalom. He's sending an angel. You know what the explanation is? God says, till now, I was in them. But now, after this sin, if I come over here, can I go to a wedding without a partition? Can I go to rest in a nation that has the golden calf sin? I'm going away. Now I'll send a lower level of Kiddusha. I'll send an angel. The angels, as I told you, are on a lower level. They're created from a different name. They're created from speech, which is Elohim, which is a lower level. And we were devastated. And we wanted to fix this. You know how we rectified the sin of the Egel? We needed to bring the Shekhinah back down inside of us. So God says, I'm going to give you the rectification. Not only gold for gold, but ve'asuli mikdash ve'shachanti betucham. It says, make for me a mikdash, and I will rest, not in the mikdash, I will rest in them. The Mishkan was like a, I don't want to belittle anything over here, but it's like a receptor. Sometimes you see a big antenna, and they want to receive certain radio waves, or certain, you know, current, they want to bring it down. The Mishkan was a big receptor. And with the right kavanot, it was able to attract God and bring God back down, not in the Mishkan, but bring back God in the hearts of every person. But it wasn't easy. Everybody had to donate, first of all. It had to be built with tremendous amount of concentration. And 7 days before it was opened officially, Moshe Rabbeinu needed to construct it and take it apart every single day for 7 days. It was like a trial. This Shabbat is called Shabbat HaChodesh because we are commemorating Rosh Chodesh Nisan. This Shabbat is Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the first month of the year. Congratulations. It's a big day. HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodeshim. You know what happened on that month of Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Exactly. That's the day the Mishkan was erected. And 7 days before, which now we're 7 days before, we're 2 days before. During these days that we're in now, Moses would build the Mishkan and take it apart. And it took 7 days for him to do this, and every time he did it, more Shekhinah would come down. More Shekhinah would come down. It was all Kavanot over here. And B'nai Yisrael were making Teshuvah during these days. These were great days. And finally, Rosh Chodesh Nisan came, and bingo. The Shekhinah would finally come down to the Jewish people like it was before the sin of the golden calf. That's what we mean, the Mishkan is kapara for the Egel. The Mishkan had a certain ability to take away all the blockages. Oh. That's why, if you remember in a previous class, I think I told you this, every month,
God's name is Yudke Vavke. You know there's 12 ways I can spell Yudke Vavke. You know that already, right? I can spell it Yudke Vavke. I can spell it Yud Vav He He. I can spell it He Vav, etc. Yud He. There's 12 different combinations how I can spell Yudke Vavke. Every month, the name Yudke Vavke is spelled a different way. Now we're coming to the month of Nisan. Guess which one of the 12 ways is Nisan? Like this, Yudke Vavke. Lagid ki yashar Adonai, suri bedo avlat tabor. God is yashar this month. It's the only month of the year Yudke Vavke straight. Every other month, it's boggled. Because in the month of Nisan, this was the month that we built the Mishkan, and the Mishkan was able to bring back the Yudke Vavke the way it was when God created us, when He blew the Neshama inside of us, and we received it. We lost it at the sin of Adam and Rishon, we got it back at Matan Torah, we lost it at the Egel, and we got it back at, it's like a yo-yo. It keeps like, we get it, we lose it, we get it, we lose it. But this month of Nisan, where again, it's a great month, because history repeats itself. Now we're under the influence of Yudke Vavke again, that in this month we could feel that Kedusha that was around. The Mishkan, I'm going to tell you, the Mishkan was purifying. It was like a mikveh. A mikveh without water. A waterless mikveh. Why? If you look at the Pasuk, when it says they built the Mishkan, it says, Beyom Hukam et ha-Mishkan. Hukam. Hukam as it was erected. Hukam. If you take the words Hukam, write it on your papers. He, Vav, Kof, Mem. Hukam. Backwards is Mikveh. Hukam ha-Mishkan. Backwards is Mikveh. The Mishkan was like a purifying agent. When a person comes out of the Mikveh, he's Tahor. One of the rabbis said, could you imagine how purifying a mikveh is? A mikveh is able to make somebody who's not Jewish, Jewish. That's part of the conversion process. You have to do brit milah, and then they put him in the mikveh. So he said, if a mikveh could make somebody who's not Jewish, Jewish, imagine what it does to somebody who's already Jewish. It makes you much more Jewish. And that's the power of the Mishkan. The Mishkan was able to bring back this Kedusha. Were you ever in a dark place for a long time? And then, when you come out to the light, you cannot open your eyes right away. Your eyes are squinting. It takes time for your eyes to adapt. Sometimes you see the people coming out of the movie theater. They're going like this. That's your punishment. What are you going to the movies for? So they come out, their eyes, they can't see for a few minutes, they're walking out like this. But they go right back the next day. They don't learn their lesson. Anyway, because when the light comes in, if it's so dark, it takes time for the eyes to acclimate to the new light. Now, listen to the way the rabbi explains these pesukim over here. He says, when the Jewish people worshipped the Egel, they went into darkness. The Yudke Vavke, which is the light, went into exile. It was lost. The Jewish people found themselves in a very dark place. Now it was time for them to build the Mishkan. God cannot tell Moshe, turn the lights on in 1 second. It'll be too sudden. The light has to come back gradually. And part of the light coming back gradually, God had to tell Moshe, you have to minimize yourself. You're so great. If you're going to reveal to them your greatness, it's too much for them because they're coming from a dark area of the sin. So you have to minimize yourself. That's why it says, Vayikra, the Aleph is small. God called Moshe, but he says, we cannot call them right away with the full the full level. So the Aleph is Zaida, it's still small. And that's why in the beginning of the Pasuk, it doesn't even say Hashem's name. Vayikra el Moshe. We can't even use Yud Kei Vav Kei yet. We need to rehabilitate them. We need to go slow. Ah, only after it says Vayikra el Moshe, they saw a little light. Now Vayidaber Adonai Elav. Now the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Now God was able to come. It had to be done in a gradual way. That's why, if you remember, Moshe Rabbeinu was on the 50th level of Kiddusha. After the Jewish people did the Egel, God tells Moshe, Lechred, go down. Go down and see what your people are doing. What does that mean, go down? What, he's going to stuck in a state of the Shaman forever? What does God have to tell him, Lechred? He knows there's only a down elevator. From Shaman you have to go down. So the Mefarshim say, the word Lech equals how much? Lamid Chaf. Very good, 50. God told Moshe, Moshe, Lech Red. You cannot stay on level 50 anymore. Once the people have sinned, Lech Red. You must go down from the level of Lech. Which means in order to bring the people back now, you need to minimize yourself a little. Because you're so holy. You know, Moshe was so holy, he had to wear a veil on his face. He was so holy. But God says, if you're going to come in the full level, they're not going to be able to withstand the current. You need to do it slow for them. And now I read. Listen to the rabbi's words. V'zeh ha'anyan gam b'parasha. Ki ata ka'asher ha'kadosh baruch hu ba l'tzavot et Moshe Rabbeinu. When God told them to build the Mishkan and bring the Korbanot, which is the main Shekhinah to come into the people. Kara lo ha'kadosh baruch hu be'alif ze'ira. He called them in a small aleph. Hainu be'or mu'at. The aleph stands for or. A small light. Or Zaira, small light. Lirmozlo, Shemittahila Sarikh Lashpil Atzmo. You have to lower yourself. Lahir b'nei Yisrael. Or Katan. Verachen lo ne'emar b'tchila v'yikra Hashem. It doesn't say Hashem's name in the beginning. To tell them, Shelo yukal leira b'nei Yisrael et or Shem Abaya take him. You can't give them the Shem Yud Kevav Kev right away. Ela me'at me'at. Slowly, slowly. And that's why that she says the word Vayikra is a word of endearment. And here is the key. Look how lucky we are. Look how much God loves us. We rebelled against Him in the worst way. We took the gold in our earlobes, the earrings, we melted it down and we said, "This is your God, Israel." We chased God away from us. The Shekhinah said, I cannot stay at this wedding. I have to go away. We sent God into Galut. But the key is that even when God is in exile, and even when the Jewish people are betum'ah, and even when the Jewish people are committing the most and the worst of the sins, what is God worried about? How are we going to bring them the light? How are we going to bring them back? God rests with us even in our time of sin. And that's the greatest sign of love. You're still calling us, God. You're still worried about us after all we did. Vayikra. God says, I'm worried about them. The baby is too dark, his eyes. Don't show them too much light. Go slowly. That's what we say in the Amidah every day. Harotze v'tshuva. God wants us to make the tshuva. Because when we make teshuvah, He's able to come out of hiding. He's able to come out of the exile. Our sins cause galut. Everybody's so worried. Mashiach, Mashiach, we want the ge'ulah, we want the ge'ulah. The Baal Shem Tov said, the universal ge'ulah cannot come until the personal ge'ulah comes. Until we release the ge'ulah from within us, until we allow God to come out into us, we cannot expect God to reveal Himself to the world. And therefore we must be working on the personal ge'ula. And how do you do that? Refraining from sin, making teshuvah, obviously becoming a little more spiritual, giving God a little more area in our lives to appear, giving God a little more space for Him to show Himself. Once there's a personal ge'ula, then the general ge'ula will follow. So this is hypocritical when people, oh, we need Mashiach, what are you doing to bring Mashiach? First redeem yourself and then redeem the world. And the Torah says, the month of Nisan is a month of redemption. B'Nisan nigalu, u'B'Nisan atidin higa'el. I'm sorry to say, most people misinterpret this. Most people interpret this, we were redeemed in Nisan out of Egypt. That's when Moshe Rabbeinu came and took us out of Egypt in this month. So it's going to happen again, Mashiach will come this month. B'Nisan nigalu, u'B'Nisan atidin higa'el. It's like things happen in the same time. Just like this month was destined for redemption, so therefore every time the month of Nisan comes around, we're prone for redemption. And that's true. I cannot say it's not true. But you know what the real depth is? You know what type of ge'ula we're talking about in Nisan? Personal redemption. The Jewish people in Egypt were on the lowest level of contamination, the 49th level. And finally, at the end, they started to do some mitzvot again. They slaughtered an animal. They sprinkled its blood on the walls. They circumcised themselves. All of a sudden, they started to have a personal redemption. They started to free themselves from the Yetzer Hara. God said, you're starting to let me in. You're starting to do mitzvot. And that activated the public redemption. But it couldn't start with the public redemption. First, they had to do something. They needed to do an action. It wasn't easy to slaughter this Korban Pesach. The Egyptians worshipped this animal. Imagine going, taking an animal that the Goyim worship and slaughtering it in front of them. And when they ask you, what are you doing with it? I'm going to sprinkle the blood on my door and I'm going to eat it for dinner. We're making a barbecue from your Avodah Zarah. This took great self-sacrifice. But once they made room for God, all of a sudden the light of God came into them. Now God says, you made a ge'ula. That's why we call it ge'ula. What does ge'ula stand for? Ga'al Vavhe. The ge'ula of Yudke Vavke of Hashem's name. Hashem's name that's in exile is redeemed. That's why I say to all of you, and to the speaker himself, B'Nisan Nig'alu, just like we were able to free ourselves from ourselves. B'Nisan Atidim Nig'ayel, this is the month that if a person has weaknesses, and a person has cravings, and a person has yetzer hara, and a person has certain vulnerabilities in religion, this is the greatest month that you could free yourself from your weaknesses. Because Am Yisrael was able to do it in Egypt, and therefore it's in the air. If you have a weakness in lashon hara, or a weakness in kavanah and tefillah, or a weakness in giving the tzedakot, or a weakness in kashrut, or whatever the I don't have to repeat the 630 mitzvot. It's not a store over here. I have to read every mitzvah in the Torah. Everybody knows which mitzvah they have. Shemirat Shabbat, of course, on top of all. Everybody knows which mitzvah they need. But you say, Rabbi, it's too hard. I cannot free myself. This is the month you can free yourself. And Hashem's name this month is Yudke Vavke. And therefore, since the name of God is straight, that's when God blows a neshama into man, and he's able to revitalize them. Guess what? Nisan represents the beginning of the spring. In the spring, everything is rejuvenated. You see, the tree over here outside is dead. It's lifeless. There's no leaves on it. There's no green. There's no vitality. All of a sudden, you'll see in a few weeks, Tehiyat HaMetim, there's the resurrection of the creation. The creation that was under frost and was under ice. This year is not a good example. Not where we live at least, but other places. If you were in Europe this year, Europe had the worst winter in history. They never saw snow and ice like what we had last year, because they laughed at us last year. They would go, you laugh at us? No, you get it this year. Now, the people in New York can have a good time. That's what happens when they laugh at us. Anyway, the whole creation now starts to thaw out, and all of a sudden, new life comes to the world. And when you see that happening to the world, to the earth, that's a sign that God's saying, you too can rejuvenate yourself. You too, over the months of the winter, maybe fell into bad habits, and maybe fell into bad actions, and got used to things that are maybe not proper, and improper lifestyle against the Torah. Ahodesh hazeh lachem. This month is yours to take back yourself. Just like the world is being refreshed, in this month every Jew has a great chance to free himself. That's why we call it Zeman Harutenu. It's the time of freedom. Freedom from who? There's no paro. We're not building bricks and buildings and all that. What do you mean? Freedom from what? Zeman Harutenu. Freedom from yourself, where you can unshackle yourself from the confines of the Yetzer Hara. And then when that happens, all of a sudden, the Shekhinah is able to come out again. And all of a sudden, you start to feel charged. You start to feel excited again. Now, you feel very close. These days are very great for us. If we take advantage of them properly, starting on the Shabbat is Rosh Chodesh. If we start on these days and have the proper Kavanot, within a few days already, you'll start to feel much closer to Hashem. The religion will not be robotic. It will not be mechanical. All of a sudden you'll start to feel motivated. And this is what the rabbi says. And this is why we usually read Vayikra at this time of year. The light has to come in slowly. The aleph has to be small. The or has to be small in the beginning. But if we're correct, for all those months that we fulfilled, unfortunately, bi'arti ha-kodesh, we got rid of the kodesh from abayit. Now we're able to return all that kedusha and bring it back. And that's why all these mitzvot that we have on the night of the Seder, these mitzvot are to bring back Hashem into us. And all the preparations that you ladies are doing towards that goal might even be greater than the mitzvah itself. Because the preparation of a mitzvah, in some levels, is even greater than the mitzvah itself. Because the mitzvah, I can do it for myself. I eat the matzah, I'm one, I eat the matzah, I benefited myself. But you ladies are preparing for your entire families. And therefore when you're preparing, you're already preparing for 20 people's matzot, and 20 people's wine, and 20 people's food, and 20 people's seder. The mitzvah itself is only one, but the preparation is for many. And the Gemara says, greater is the one that enables somebody to do a mitzvah, than the one that does the mitzvah itself. If I give tzedakah, it's a mitzvah. But if I cause somebody else to give tzedakah, it's a bigger mitzvah. Because it's harder. It's easy for me to eat the food. But to prepare the food, to prepare it for many people like you're doing now, and spending and shopping and doing all these hakanot, this is part of the way that we chase away the kilipot, the yetzer hara. And all of a sudden, every time you're shopping for the holiday, you say, Lichvod Yom Tov. It's for the holiday. It's for the Kiddusha. And all of a sudden you start to see the Shekhinah will start to come. By the end of the month of Nisan, oh, what's the month after Nisan? Iyad. Why do they call it Iyad? Iyad stands for Ani Adonai Rofecha. Ani is Aleph. Yud Yud is Hashem's name. Resh is Rofecha. By the time Nisan is finished, you're cured. God says, Ani Adonai Rofecha. That's it. I am Yud Keva. It worked. I am God inside of you, you are healed. Yiratzon, we should take advantage of the next days that are coming ahead of us. These are Yemei Gadlut, days of greatness, of unprecedented amount. And we need all the zekuyot. And Be'azat Hashem, we hope, like it says in the Pasuk, and I'll conclude with this, Ulchol b'nei Yisrael, hayaor b'moshbotam, that when the Jewish people, the Egyptians were in darkness, in Makat Hoshech. And it says in the Jewish people, Hayaor b'moshpotam. There was great light in their midst. And I say the same blessing to all of you today. Ulchol b'nei Yisrael, Hayaor. We should have all. It should start with a small aleph. But the aleph should grow from an aleph Zaira to an aleph Rabbati, to a big aleph. Be'azat Hashem. Amen. Amen.